episode 47.5, the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast starring Shane Manila and the rest of us. Wow, man. So you have to be excited about some of the moves today, not just for Dynasty football, but for more selfish reasons.
Are we taping?
Yeah, I'm taping, yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is just over the last few weeks, a lot of people have noted how basically the Eagles have been using Nelson Aguilar as a Golden Tate-ish, but obviously to not those without the same success.
Right.
And it's pretty funny because, you know, he's getting his ADOTs a lot lower than it has been. They've thrown a lot of passes to him, like bubble screens and screens in general, and just a lot of passes at the line of scrimmage or even behind it, just trying to get him going, you know what I mean? Get the ball in his hands, let him make some moves, because he's a fast, explosive guy. But he's just looked terrible this year. And he's looked so bad that they went out and got the real one.
Yeah, man, he has not really looked good, and it's unfortunate. I have him in a lot of places now. I traded for him, you know, because of last year, and I got him cheaply, you know, in startups before he even took off last year. A little disappointed in what happens to him, but there's so many more exciting things to talk about, you know, that are positive for fantasy football that I can't even get hung up on Nelson Aguilar. But so you think basically Golden Tate, you know, takes his place.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, I know the playbooks are different, obviously, because they're completely different. Matt Patricia runs, or Jim Bob Cooter runs whatever he runs. I don't even know what that is. And then, you know, there's Doug Peterson, who's, I don't know if Jim Bob is like math, I would say, or, you know, Jim Bob's like what, algebra? And then Doug Peterson would be running what, trigonometry? Like, that's the difference in them. But there's literally no reason. Oh, God damn it. Use literally too much. But there's no reason you can't just run the exact same routes Golden Tate was running in Detroit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just X out Nelson Aguilar. You paste Golden Tate over him. And he does everything that Nelson Aguilar has been doing this year, except better.
He's better
after the catch. He's basically a bowling, what's that bowling ball with knives or whatever that is.
Right, that's a good analogy, man. He's consistent. I mean, he's just a money guy. He's a guy that you can count on game in and game out. He's always been one of those consistent wide receiver. He's a great guy to have on your dynasty team, and I think he's just going to maintain that. I mean, the Eagles got him for a reason. You know, they know how they're going to use him. They wanted him. He's happy to be there, it looks like, too.
Well, he should be, because he's going from the Lions to the defending Super Bowl champions. So he can, at a minimum, say, hey, I play for the defending Super Bowl champions. Now, you know, you call him on it, you're like, yeah, but you weren't a part of that roster. Then it'd be like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, but still,
yeah,
I'm on the defending.
Yeah,
I'm on the Super Bowl champion. But honestly, Matt Stafford is not a bad quarterback, not by any stretch of the imagination, but he can't do the things Carson Wentz can do.
Yeah, I like Matt Stafford a lot, but yeah, Wentz is running that offense very crisply, I want to say, just very adeptly at his young age. That's a great fantasy football point-scoring offense, you know, a lot to like there. What do you think happens to Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, Jordan Matthews? We already said Nelson Aguilar. Matthews was kind of an afterthought, I guess, just kind of an extra guy, he seemed like, anyway, added late in the season, or, you know, later after the season kicked off. What do you think of these other guys? What's it mean, if anything, for these other players?
Well, Aguilar's dead. He's he's dead for this year.
Yeah, like a backup role now, you think? Like, they'll bring him in here and there, but he's not going to be a starter.
It's just, and someone else, I forget where I read it. It might have been Comcast Sportsnet or Philadelphia NBC Sportsnet Comcast conglomerate, whatever the goddamn station is called now.
All right.
But they noted that, you know, Golden Tate and Nelson Aguilar are redundant, and that's what they are. Like I said, it's Nelson Aguilar is a lesser version of what Golden Tate is, this year at least.
Okay, so he's the backup now. Tate's the starter, but what do you think that means for Jeffrey, or their confidence in Jeffrey? Nothing at all, and same for
Nothing
Zachary's.
Even a little bit. Nothing at all. They wanted a third option. They wanted a third weapon because the running game is shit. The running game is going to be trash. Wendell Smallwood, and I guess now it's Josh Adams are the lead backs. Josh Adams had 9 carries, and Wendell Smallwood had 8 last week, and I don't even know what Corey Clement did. He had like 4 or something, but he wasn't very good.
Yeah, that's the thing. The running game hasn't been successful, really. Jay Ajayi definitely was a bell cow guy for them. He's hurt, of course. Do you think this means more passing, just in general, out of the Eagles' offense? They're going to do more passing, like you were saying with the short passes. I mean, that's where Golden Tate lives, right? I mean, he's in the middle of the field. He's where Zach Ertz plays. He's underneath. He's inside. I mean, they run him all over the field, but he's going to take something away from the center of that offense. Do you think Golden Tate's trade there means they're going to pass more? I mean, you're an Eagles guy. I don't know.
Here's the thing. I don't even know that they need to pass more because they're already. And let me just look it up because I actually was writing an article on this that I had to pause on while we did the show. So the Eagles are a 9th in pass attempts, or excuse me, they're 10th in the league in pass attempts at 38 and a half a game. I don't know how much more you can throw than that.
Yeah, I mean, Wentz is a top 12 guy right now as far as everything, all the
Yeah.
passing, you know, 1,800
But
yards, 70% completion, 70% completion percentage. I mean, and he's yeah, I mean, you can't really do
so
much better than that.
I guess they could throw more in theory, but it's not going to be, yeah, it's not going to be. I think if they do throw more, it's definitely going to be more of the throws, the short throws, the extensions of the run game type deals to Tate. It'll be interesting to see. Good thing is they have, the extra week to integrate them since they're on bye this week.
Yeah, now that's a factor. If you're trading for Golden Tate or trying to move that player in any way, either you're giving up if you trade him away an extra bye week this year, or you're gaining an extra bye week. I just saw that. So anybody who owns Golden Tate is getting 2 bye weeks for that player this year. So that could really mess you up.
That's like the parallel to Jay Ajayi last year when they traded for him. He ended up having 2 bye weeks, and I think the first week was what the first week of the season because the hurricane was bearing down on
Yeah, I
them.
think they turned it around to the first week of the season. That's why we need Mike here, man. He's a hurricane expert. That kind of hit close to home for him.
Yeah, Mike the Hurricane Sipes.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna call him.
Yeah, so that part does suck. That kind of screwed me in one or two leagues where, it's the bi-pocalypse and you thought you were in good shape, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, this guy I was going to start, he's not playing this week. That's not helpful. That's not helpful at all.
Yeah, bye
For
weeks are hurtful anyway. I mean, especially when it's not like you just have one player on your dynasty team on a bye week. I mean, we've made trades because of bye weeks. Like specifically because of bye weeks and to maintain momentum. In fact, you tried to trade one to do one today, so you had another quarterback in our league.
Oh yeah, which led to that cap salary cap, man. Salary cap leagues are f-ing challenging. I traded for Joe Flacco, so I got a starting quarterback, but I couldn't submit my roster because I was then over the salary cap. So then
You
I
gotta
had to
watch your
trade a
money,
wide
man.
receiver. Yep, I traded a wide receiver that I really like. Traded him for a 2021st. Deep class, but I didn't really want to trade Christian Kirk, but I had to, because it's hard to make trades in that league. It just is. And then I ended up trading Andy Dalton later to get me some more cap space. So now I'm $15 million under the cap, and I feel like a new man.
Yeah, you might find someone that wants to trade with you, trade the same players that you're after, but then the dollars just don't work out. So you have that extra factor to think about.
Yeah, I keep trying to get Sammy Watkins off of Mike Tagliere, but I can't get him. But
He won't
anyway,
move, huh?
yeah, he won't. He's on a cheap salary, and he doesn't want to get rid of him. I can't blame him.
What do
But
you
yeah.
think about Demaryius Thomas of the Broncos, man? That was the first one announced today. Did you expect that? People had mentioned him being on the trade block and that was possible, but did you expect it? I mean,
Yeah,
yeah.
even the way he was talking about it was 50-50.
Yeah.
And not just that he heard, that it was 50-50. He said he heard something from his agent, which means the team went to his agent like, hey, we might be doing something. You know what I mean? Like
Heads up, we're
agents.
going to trade your
Yeah.
player.
Or if the team didn't, another agent heard, because agents are always in the know. They got, you know, they have sources in front offices and in newspapers and stuff like that.
The first to know guys, for sure.
Yeah, you know, it sucks for Kiki Kuti and anyone that owned him, because I thought, you're like, uh-oh, he's definitely going to get 15 targets a week now, because all they had was Hopkins. Yeah,
I don't think they wanted to rely on him, you know. But, yeah, so this year it's kind of, you know, smashed his chances but, you know, in the future. I mean, Demaryius Thomas he's no spring chicken, but this is huge for him this year. If you own Demaryius Thomas, you're happy about DT going there, I think, aren't you? He wasn't getting much love, had a terrible quarterback chemistry in Denver.
I mean, you got to sell his ass if you can, because he's going to get cut, obviously, after the season, unless he's not worth $17 million anymore. He's not.
What do you think the value is on a guy like that, say in a typical super flex? What do you give away to get him? Or, I mean, more importantly, if you have him and you want to unleash him, I mean, sorry, unload him,
well, here's
what do you try to get for him? A third? A second?
Before the season, in a non-super flex, I got 2 seconds for him.
Yeah, before the season began, so they could use him all season.
Yeah, now if I'm a contender, right, you know, and I fall back to my default, I'll throw maybe a second at you, because I think he'll give you one or two wide receiver 2 weeks, but more likely he's going to settle into that wide receiver 3 role. I mean, because, you know, he's what's that other guy, that big guy, DeAndre Hopkins, that guy. He's going to, yeah, that's him.
Pretty big.
He's going to continue to see, 30% of the targets or whatever ridiculous rate it is, and he freaking deserves it. Yeah, and he deserves it. But, I mean, DT's going to – see, he doesn't have a week to integrate, or an extra week, I should say, with buys or anything like that.
He's go now.
A second, you know, like I said, that's my default. Like, I mean, when I'm like,
yeah, same here. If he's helping you, you know, get to the playoffs and maybe win some games in the playoffs, that's absolutely worth a second round pick.
Yeah.
Maybe win a championship on that. He's a hell of a player, man. He's been one of my favorites because he's another steady Eddie. Well, he used to be like Golden Tate, you know, a reliable guy, get you those points every week. So, but more importantly, for all the people that love Cortland Sutton and have been waiting for that guy, what do you think, man? Wide receiver one after all out of that rookie draft that's shaping up to be maybe.
You know, everybody he dropped in the drafts, everyone that was able to get him at 110, 111, 112 in super flex leagues.
Seriously,
in the second round.
Did we see him go 112, 2-1? I might have gotten him that low. I have to check. I got a steal on him, man, in one of my drafts recently. And one of the later drafts, too. Before the season started.
In all my super flex drafts, he fell to the second round. Well, I should say not all of them, but most of them. And again, it's funny. It just shows you the short-sightedness of Dynasty.
What have you done for me lately? Yeah.
We played Dynasty football, and people were, I don't like his landing spot. Like, what are you talking about? First of all, he would have had to sit for a year. Everyone that knows anything, knows how to read, knew that Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas were cut candidates after the season because their contracts were just so outsized.
Two guys in their 30s on a team where they've played for a long time with they're trying to find the right quarterback. You know those guys are going downhill, declining. It's a matter of time. That's why they drafted Cortland Sutton. But we've talked on this show a lot about how you don't really want to focus on landing spots for wide receivers. Who was your highest-ranked wide receiver? You know, don't change your rankings based on landing spots. James Washington's going to eventually take off too, but I mean, this is big for Sutton. Guys are getting a lot of value out of, like you said, late first and maybe second round picks for Sutton. I think you're right. He dropped to the second round, which is crazy. He used to be the 1.01 Devy pick.
Yeah, and just about every super flex league I'm in, he was a second round pick. And I told you I kept trying to trade any draft that I had where I saw he was still on the board in the, you know, later the first round, and I didn't have a pick there. I was trying like nobody's business, trying to move up to get him. Because, like I said, you knew. Whatever, he ended up in Denver. It's a bad spot for 1 year when he's a rookie. Like, how many rookie wide receivers? Like, we're still living in 2014. I
Right.
don't expect rookie wide receivers to come in and be wide receiver ones. I don't even expect them to be wide receiver twos. I'm just looking for a guy that, you know, maybe he can give me wide receiver three production, or I can flex him in my last
Yeah.
flex spot, or I'm comfortable starting him on a, you know, once in a while. Like, I had hopes for him, Anthony Miller, Calvin Ridley. Like, those guys were guys that I hoped I could just use as my last flex, maybe, or as a bye week fill in. So, yeah, anyone that didn't draft Courtland Sutton, I can't relate. I feel bad for you because I snatched him up everywhere I could.
Yeah, good for you. I just put those guys on my taxi and I don't expect anything year one, so that helps me deal with it, cope with it after I draft them. And then this is just a bonus what some of these guys are doing. DJ Moore finally, you know, he's turning it on at least more than I expected. I didn't know what to think of him, and Sutton taking off a little early too. That's just goodness for fantasy football. I traded today. I guess I'll let you do it.
Oh, trade alert.
Dude, I think you might like this trade that I made. I think this is right up your alley. I gave away a 2019 first and Marlon Mack, as well as Javorius Allen and Jacoby Brissett. Just a super flex league, so I felt like it was just Mack and a 2019 first. By God, we'll talk a little bit later, but Javorius Allen's value took another hit.
Oh,
But,
he's dead.
you know, Marlon Mack and a 2019 first, a couple of guys that can maybe help you, maybe. And then I got James Washington, Derrick Henry, and Courtland Sutton. I was given the first for Sutton no matter what, but basically gave Marlon Mack for Derrick Henry and James Washington. I mean, that's a coup. That's crazy value. I was offered that trade when I just reached out and said, "Hey, what do you want for Courtland Sutton?" The guy sent me an offer, and that was it. And I accepted immediately. I couldn't accept fast enough. I almost dropped my phone in the toilet.
Is this before the trade or after?
Right after he was traded, I reached out in all my leagues to see what guys wanted for Courtland Sutton. I started sending offers out, and then by the time I was done sending them out, he had already been traded, and Courtland Sutton's value, of course, is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Some guys weren't going to move him anyway. They were saying he's a solid hold for me. I've been waiting for this, you know, one guy said. And so I was unsuccessful in all but two places. I got him in two places, and this was by far the best trade. You
Oh,
didn't get
man,
much
I
play
love
for
that. I love it. So, oh, but you know, we didn't talk about my favorite part of the, from fantasy perspective at least, for that Detroit Golden Tate trade.
Yeah, buddy. What's the
Yeah.
ramifications of that?
Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, baby.
It's all happening. It's all
It's all
happening
happening,
finally.
it is.
Finally. So, dude balled out the first 3 weeks of the season. He had 28 targets the first 3 weeks of the season. You know how many he's had since then in four games?
I know you know.
16. 16 over 4 weeks. That's
That's,
not good.
yeah.
That comes to four a game, in case anyone's wondering. I don't know if anyone's bad at math.
I don't know.
I
I
know.
think maybe our listeners are a little bit better at math than we are.
Probably. I'm terrible at it. But yeah, so he was balling out the beginning of the season. Then a strange thing happened. The Lions realized that Kerryon Johnson kid's pretty good,
Yeah,
and
he
they should
finally
let him.
showed out, didn't he?
Yeah, let him run the ball a little more, and they've really slowed their pace of play, man. And their pass attempts per game have dropped. Like, they're running, I think, over the last 3 weeks, somewhere around 57 plays a game on offense. They are just that's like fourth worst in the league over that 3 week stretch.
A little slow on the they're not gonna
Chip
press
Kelly.
Chip Kelly
Chip
on the
Kelly would have
number
a
plate,
heart attack watching that game. Like, what
but
are they doing?
you'd have to put it on fast
No.
forward just to watch it. Like, what the hell?
Oh my God, it's just they're so slow. So for the season, they run 62 offensive plays a game. But again, that's skewed by some of the games where they had a ton of passing attempts. Matt Stafford had two games with 50 or over 50 pass attempts already this year.
Man, I would love for him to keep that up. I own him, like I say, every show in a lot of places, and he's one of my favorites. But can you imagine Galladay getting like
Oh.
the greater percentage, the lion's share? Sorry, I didn't even mean that. But the lion's
That's a
share of passes
terrible pun.
targets.
So yeah, I was just looking at, you know, I like to go to Roto-Viz game split apps and just look at things. And I'm like, all right, well, how's Kenny Galladay do when he's targeted six or more times a game? 17.7 points a game, which would be, yeah, that'd be right around wide receiver 12 this year. That's just on six targets a game. six or more, I should say. Oh my God. But yeah, if he could, and I don't even need him to get the ridiculous, like, DeAndre Hopkins and guys like that. I don't need the 12 to 15. Just, oh my God, get him 6 to 10 a week and I'll be in heaven,
And you
man.
know, with Matt Stafford, if you have Matt Stafford running your offense, you're going to be throwing the ball. I mean, that's just, it doesn't matter who
Well,
comes in there, who's coaching that team, Stafford's going to be throwing the ball. So, I mean, you're basically seeing what used to happen there with, two wide receiver sets. That's where they're most successful anyway. So now you got Galladay and Marvin Jones as the lead guys. You don't have that third player. I guess they were more successful this year with, instead of being an 11 personnel, just having two wide receivers, way more successful as an offense. Galladay is going to get that Golden Tate love over on his side of the field.
Well, that's the problem, though, is what's happened is they're not throwing as much, and I'm sure it's partly because they've slowed down the pace of the game, but they're running more too. So
Yep.
they you don't have the pass attempts to basically keep three guys relevant.
Right.
So it is whack-a-mole. Like, well, is this guy going to be the guy this week, or is it going to be that guy? Is it going to be
It's
Tate this
clearer.
week?
Yeah, it's
Next week
clearer
it's
now.
Galladay. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It is. I mean,
Unless, of
because
course, unless you think TJ Jones is going to come in there
I
and
don't. No,
muck up
no.
things.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't expect much out of him. Like you said, it's going to be the two wide receivers, Stafford taking those shots down the field, much like he did. Now that they finally have more than one back that they can depend on in Theo Riddick, now that they have Kerryon Johnson and they have some success with their line and their running game, I think this is great for fantasy football because I think his value increases. He's going to get a few more targets. Galladay, of course. I mean, that's why they drafted him. What do they call him?
Babytron.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you
Yeah,
know, we're talking
I
about a
referenced.
tip of the hat to the Megatron, the big Calvin Johnson guy, right? So.
Yeah, and I actually referenced that in there because there's just no way to talk about Galladay without getting all excited and
Yeah,
thinking of him
man.
as Babytron. And yeah, man, Jones had that little breakout last year, right? He finished as the wide receiver 13. And the year before that, I think he had a little stretch where he did well.
Yeah, I'm not saying he can't. He's not someone I'm looking at acquiring. If you can get him for a bargain, a discount, and free, which he should be, fine. But yeah, I'm not counting on him. It's not the reason being he's not going to be a consistent fantasy producer like the guys we're talking about. But if you have a dynasty team, he should be
Well,
on your roster.
oh, definitely. But he's another guy though. So if we assume that Michael Roberts, he's the tight end there, right? TJ Jones is a wide receiver there, and I don't even know who else their wide receivers are, to be honest with you. So you got to think that most of the remaining targets are going to Galladay and Jones. Look, even if they just see three targets each a game, which doesn't even account for all of Golden Tate's targets,
Right,
that
right.
would only account for shit, I'm really bad with math, but
I was like,
whatever.
where are you going with this?
Yeah, whatever 6 into 9 would be, that's what that is. What's that, like the 74%? I
Are you
don't know.
saying 6 divided by 9?
Yeah, I don't know, there's too many numbers. We got more trades. So what else was the biggest trade? So it was those two, right? And then we also had Ty Montgomery traded basically as a to
Yeah,
Baltimore.
apparently, yeah. Don't make Aaron Rodgers mad is what people are saying. It's and Aaron, or Aaron Jones, but it's Aaron Jones time, huh? What about Williams? I don't even want to talk about Jamal Williams. He's disappointing.
No, you know what? This is beautiful though, because you get Montgomery only had, I think, 6 snaps last week. I saw, and he was bitching. Basically, he's like, I don't know what you want me to do. I switched from a wide receiver to a running back in the middle of the season last year.
Yeah,
Like, I kind of felt for the guy.
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And he's right. He's like, I'm affecting my money later. And he's pissed off. I don't know if he knew what he was doing. Maybe he just did get his explanation was he got lost, didn't realize where the goal line was, and didn't want to take a knee because he was scared he was on the one. You would think you could just look down. But whatever. But yeah, Buck Allen. So he's dead, right? Just completely dead.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect much out of Buck Allen. I don't think this hurts Alex Collins a ton, though. The way that I think of this is they plan to use Ty Montgomery, well, both as a receiver and as a running back. Kind of Danny Woodhead-ish. That's how I think of this going forward. So Montgomery is a valuable asset in Dynasty Jarvarius Allen took a hit, I don't know that this is going to mess up Alex Collins, at least how he's been producing of late. It shouldn't.
Nah, I think, you know, Collins has been, what, the two-down guy. That's what he is. He's a two. He's got a two-down role.
And that's not Montgomery's role, so there's no overlap at all.
Nah. So Montgomery's your third-down back. He's the bigger guy, so you would think, in theory, he'll be the goal line back. But it could open up, you know, touchdown opportunities for Collins, too. I mean, Montgomery's value is so low right now that I think I'd go ahead and just to see, who knows, just offer a third. Because if he's going to thrive, I mean, that's the perfect opportunity for him. Because like you said, when Woodhead was there, I forget what other backs, Buck Allen. Even Buck Allen found a way to thrive there where he'd catch the ball and do absolutely nothing with it. But, you know, he'd have seven receptions for 22 yards. Montgomery can at least, you know, he can do a little something once he has the ball in his hands. So he could return some value on it. So I wouldn't mind throwing out a third round rookie pick for him to see if I can get ahead and buy him for that.
Oh, Montgomery? Yeah, I think that's probably – I mean, these other guys, I want to get them if I can. But Montgomery presents a value play, I think, because if you're talking about getting them for a third or maybe even a second, if he gets some volume there, if he becomes like a Danny Woodhead character for us in our play here, that could be super helpful on your playoff run, you know? I mean, honestly. And maybe beyond this season. So in Dynasty, I think you get Ty Montgomery, try to get him cheaply. But he's like definitely the value play on this list, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, I guess you could buy Buck Allen. But,
yeah, you should be able to get him pretty cheaply, I would think.
Like you could wait probably a couple days and he'll be on your waiver wire.
yeah, it's possible. Yeah, but there's a lot to like so far. I mean, so far out of all these moves, I mean, we see a lot more promise than not. Aguilar is really the one who takes the biggest hit because now he becomes a backup, but everybody else seems to at least land on better times. Even Jamal Williams' stock goes up, right?
I
don't like him at all.
Well, Ty Montgomery's not on the team, right? So at least in theory, there's a couple more snaps for him.
Yeah.
But I kind of hope this is, and you know, they're completely different players and the situation's vastly different. But just when they, you know, how New Orleans removed Adrian Peterson from the equation last year, Adrian Peterson wasn't getting a ton of touches. He wasn't even getting a ton of snaps. But once he was removed from that running back by committee thing they had going on there, that's when Kamara and Ingram really flourished together as a two-headed monster. And you know, obviously to a lesser extent, maybe Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams could do the same thing. Aaron Jones is a much more talented player. And he's a guy I'm just disappointed that I didn't pull off any trades for him when I was trying. But
yeah, I didn't really make moves for him. I have him in quite a few spots. I was checking today and I'm happy to see that he's going to get that love because he can do all the things. I mean, that's the thing about Williams, and we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go into it very far, but like he's not good at doing, he's okay at things, but literally can do nothing better than anyone else on the team can do in various ways. So he's like,
right.
You know, it's not like he's greater than the sum of his parts. He's just this guy.
Oh, wait, wait. He's a better pass blocker than Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
But
that's true.
Aaron Jones is just the better running back and receiving back.
Right. he's the guy you want on the field. And that's the thing that I love about fantasy. You end up getting players that tend to be the more efficient players in football. And maybe football coaches probably laugh at us like we don't know what we're doing, except that you're not efficient when you have like three different backs and you use them for three different things. I mean, efficiency is having a guy that can do a lot of different things well. Not everybody has that asset, but Aaron Jones is a guy that can stay on the field and be in all those different packages, and hopefully we reap the benefits in fantasy, too.
We might as well just do a winners and losers list. People like that shit. All right, so winners, obviously Aaron Jones.
Yes.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and their fans,
And their fans, yes. Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones. Demaryius Thomas, because he goes from Case Keenum to Deshaun Watson.
Yep, he's in the green.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson's obviously a winner. Carson Wentz is a winner. Another really good player on the team.
Yep.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton, he's big winner.
Time,
yeah, so Nelson Agholor is the only loser, huh? And Buck Allen.
I think so, you know. Nelson Agholor and Buck Allen, yeah. I mean, those are really the big hits. So, Interesting stuff, man. Were you still checking things and refreshing every couple minutes close to 4 p.m. today? Because all the noise was done by like 3.
No, man.
There's
As soon as they made the trade for Golden Tate and DT was moved, there was a couple defensive trades, but we don't care about IDP. I do care that haha Clinton Dix was traded to the Redskins at a Washington.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks because I don't want that defense better. But just keep that in mind too when you're looking at defenses the rest of the year to stream or defenses you're going up against. Just remember Washington's yearly totals and all that stuff doesn't include Clinton Ha-Ha Dix.
Yeah,
Is that
haha.
how? Ha-Ha Clinton Dix?
Yeah.
Is that his name? Ha-Ha
Yeah,
Clinton Dix?
that's his nickname, I think.
Clinton is his first name. Clinton Ha-Ha Dix? Whatever. He knows his name.
I just think they call him Haha. It's a nickname he picked up,
Ha-ha.
but
So it's
yeah.
not a real name. You don't think that's the government name? I'm gonna have
I
to look
used to
that
know
up.
what this was, you know. I used to know, but I've long since forgotten how he became Haha. But yeah, some interesting defensive moves. We don't usually talk about them on this show, but yeah, his real name's Hashan Treshan Clinton Dix. Instead, they call him Haha because it's probably too hard to say Hashan Treshan and when you're trying to yell at a guy.
No, I gotta be honest with you. It's probably like his brother or sister who was younger than him and couldn't say his name and called
Yeah.
him Ha Ha. And everybody was like, that's the cutest thing ever. That's
Yeah.
his name from now on.
Hey, I know
So
that from
meanwhile,
experience, man.
yeah, like I, you know, his little brother is probably like, 20 years old and he still had to call him that. Like, I'll call your brother Ha Ha. And he's like, I don't want to. I know how to say
Yeah,
his name
right.
now.
Yeah,
I
my
do that to my son. He calls his brother Yaya when he was a baby.
Really?
Yeah, we don't know why, because it's not remotely related to his name. But so, when he got a little older and he could say his name correctly, he calls him that. And we're like, we don't like that. You call him Yaya. So, he's 6 years old
I
and he's
heard you
calling his
call your
brother
son
Yaya.
Yaya once. I was like, who the heck
Yeah.
is Shane talking to?
Yeah. So
Nutty.
that's a little bonus treat for the episode on a bonus episode, a bonus trade episode. Hey, don't forget, check out our Patreon page. Check out our website, Dynasty Football Factory. In case you didn't know, it was just me and Madman tonight because Sipes had more important stuff to do, but we were so stoked that we
We
wanted to
had
jump
to.
on, and we had to do a bonus episode. Everybody's doing a bonus episode tonight, I bet.
Yeah, they probably are, man. Yeah, his wife's birthday, so already planned, couldn't get out of it. Trust me, he wanted to be here, but could not do so. But this is just a bonus episode. What is this, 47.5? So we'll do 48 later this week.
Yeah. Yep.
Or maybe this is 48, and we'll do 49 later this week. We'll have to see how it shakes out, but it was fun to do this, Shane. Anything else you want to say before we sign on out of here?
This is awesome. I love the NFL trade deadline.
Yeah, me too, man. This was a lot of fun. I hope you get some dynasty value out of this stuff, Shane. I know you're going to be trading after this show's over. I'm going to continue sending some offers out there too. And then we'll see you later this week, my friend.
All right, later, my man.
Yep, take care. Have fun, everybody. We'll see you.